The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
He does have some good advice on wearing blackface, and his advice is don't use shoe polish because it's too hard to get off. He's tried a lot of different things, and he knows. He's the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He's a Democrat, and the Democrat Party is the party of slavery and Jim Crow and the KKK and all that good stuff. But never mind any of that, because not a problem. But it's an amazing thing. The current governor of Virginia is endorsing the former white governor, the current white Coon Man Klan suit wearing blackface guy, Governor Coon Man Ralph Northam, who likes to set the babies aside on the table and decide later whether they're going to squeeze the life out of them. He's a pediatrician. He's an MD. He's a doctor. It's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because I don't think a Republican would survive even one of these things. But when you're a Democrat, it's really no problem. You just hang in there, and you know they come to the rescue. The Washington Post is on your side. The New York Times backs you. CNN backs you. It's good to be a Democrat. So now the current governor, the exiting governor, he's not endorsing his own lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, who's African-American. No, Coon Man is endorsing the white guy, the guy with the Klan outfit scandal, Governor Coon Man, Ralph Northam, the Democrat. He is endorsing the white guy, the Clintonista, Mick Awful, who left his crying wife in the car, and not the black guy, who's his own lieutenant governor. Of course, his own lieutenant governor has twice been credibly accused of raping women, but that's not really a problem either, because he explained, Justin Fairfax, he's running for governor now. You may recall, he had a debate night before last. He whipped out Emmett Till, he whipped out, and George Floyd, and said that Terry McAuliffe had treated him like Emmett Till, who was murdered by racists in 1955, I think it was, and Mississippi, and George Floyd, who was killed in Minneapolis last year, and then the Democrats burned the country down because they care very deeply. You know, one death is a tragedy, and a million deaths are a statistic, as their forebear Joseph Stalin used to say. Remarkable stuff. So Terry McAuliffe has the endorsement of Coon Man, and that was Terry McAuliffe saying that he said that Coon Man should leave because of the Klan outfit picture. Turns out that wasn't the problem. He stayed. He got new public relations people. They smoothed it over with the press. Everything's fine. He's going to leave in good standing and good stead. He might run for president, as a matter of fact. Just as Justin Fairfax said that his star rose in the Democrat Party after he was twice accused of raping women. Very credibly, by the way, by very credible women. But that's why it's good to be a Democrat. And even the Washington Post today, they're apparently going to endorse Terry McAuliffe also. The front page of the Metro section, because they're a racist paper, front page of the Metro section, the B section of the Washington Post today, has the headline, Virginia's Fairfax criticized over Floyd, Till remark, makes comparison at debate to resign over assault accusations. Well, you know, when you're a Democrat, you just don't resign. You stick it out because the media's there for you. They got your back. Just ask Governor Cuomo. And there's more information on him groping women, the Democrat governor of New York, and he's the nursing home slayer. And, oh, also more information about him has come out. It turns out that he did. He actually commissioned people to track all of the nursing home deaths. So they were getting reports on a very regular basis from all the nursing homes and keeping tabulating all of the numbers. And then when asked to release it, they lied about it and covered it up. And that's been uncovered now. But that's okay. That's not really going to affect him because, you know, he's a Democrat. He's Gropey McGropeface. He's Baby Doc Cuomo of the Cuomo Organized Crime Family. And the New York Times has his back, and CNN has his back. So you don't have to worry about this. This is just the old double standard, you know. Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. That's for sure. Truly remarkable stuff, being a Democrat. Very different universe. They live on a different plane. because they get away with everything. Just ask Ted Kennedy. Remember, he rolled that car over and, you know, the woman he was probably doing, you know, the old left to die in the back seat of his car. And then he ran for president after, and he got endorsements of all kinds of media because, you know, in the war on women, he had a confirmed kill. But that was okay. That was okay with them. Not a thing at all. Also, Lunch Bucket Joe, he's doing such a great job. The lead story in the Washington Post today is infections climb on Biden's watch, talking about the coronavirus from Wuhan, China, the city of Wuhan in China is where it came from. Did it come from the laboratory by accident or on purpose? Nobody really knows, but, you know, the investigation by the World Health Organization was effectively a sham, a cover-up, so we may never know. Infections climb on Biden's watch. This is actually the front page, upper right corner lead story. A new crisis, a new crisis could risk hard-won gains. Now, this story is really unbelievable for a number of reasons. Resistance spikes show limits of pandemic response. This is, Biden is actually still the hero of this story. It's kind of a remarkable thing. It's great to be a Democrat. Dan Diamond and Fennett Narapil typed up the story on behalf of the Biden White House and published in the Washington Post. Their slogan is, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. And listen to this. For the first 2 months, all the coronavirus numbers broke in the Biden administration's favor. Because you got to keep in mind, this is not about hundreds of thousands of Americans dying from the virus from the city of Wuhan in China. That's not what the story is about. The story is about how it will affect the Biden administration, and they're here to backstop him at the Washington Post. They're here to back him up. So this really, the lead sentence, that was the lead sentence, this is the lead sentence. And it's all that because the numbers in the first 2 months, well, that's because they inherited the Trump program and the vaccines that were rolled out, you know, Operation Warp Speed and record time and all that good stuff. Oh, by the way, we are at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And so the Washington Post says that infection rates are climbing and still Joe Biden is the hero of the story. So I say first 2 months, all the numbers broke in the Biden administration's favor. And that is not to the credit of the Trump administration. That's to the credit of the Biden administration. They walked into a situation that was going very well. Now the numbers are spiking. But wait, because, you know, Biden was responsible for all the good stuff, but not the bad stuff. More than 100 million Americans have gotten at least one shot of vaccine, and more than 200 million doses have been sent to the states, thanks to Operation Warp Speed and the Trump administration and President Trump making that happen. A dramatic acceleration of the bumpy vaccine operation it inherited. Listen to that lie. That's just a shameless, flagrant lie by Dan Diamond and Fennett Narapil at the Washington Post. Just an outrageous fraud, a smear, a slanderous lie. They should be sued for it. That's knowingly misrepresenting the truth. Virus-related cases and deaths, which peaked in January, have fallen by about two-thirds since President Biden's inauguration. Well, that's because they inherited an incredibly effective vaccination program orchestrated by the military. President Trump brought them in. All of the pharmaceutical companies working together instead of competing with one another to come to the quickest vaccines in the history of the world and all this good stuff. But the Biden White House is seeing new infections climb on its own watch. Listen, now, why is this a problem? A potential crisis that could erase many of the hard-won gains of the president's first 75 days, should the numbers keep rising. See, they were looking at it through the prism of how it affects not the American people, those who live and die, but Biden, who was their guy, who they promoted and they campaigned for him. He was in his basement. And the Washington Post really was his campaign along with the other media. After railing for a year about the last administration's response and vowing a more muscular strategy, all the positive words, they just worship. It's a sexual thing to a large extent. Biden is encountering the limits of his own authority. His own authoritarianism. You know, the city of Washington is still an occupied city, military occupation of the city of Washington, low-flying helicopters, thousands of troops. The president can help secure and distribute supplies and medicines, thanks to the Trump administration, Operation Warp Speed, issue guidance and urge caution. But like President Donald Trump before him, he has few tools when governors decide to lift coronavirus protections at the wrong moment. Now, listen to this. in they're talking about Texas and Florida, which have lower rates than California, New York, New Jersey, and elsewhere, where Democrats have had lockdowns. But they still, this is another fallacy that the news media is peddling, is that when Republican governors lift restrictions, that things get worse, when in reality, things have gotten better in Texas and in Florida. Lower rates than New York, New Jersey, California, and other Democrat states. And Michigan, for example, which has, I think, 8 of the 10 hot spots, and they've got that, you know, Gretchen Whitmer with the lockdowns and all that. And they have 8 of the 10 cities with the highest numbers are in Michigan. At least that was true as of Sunday. Several days ago. Truly remarkable stuff. But that's the Washington Post. And when you're a Democrat, they are your fluffers. They, the Washington Post, they are here to spin everything for you. And boy, it's just great. Also on the front page, president to unveil first major actions on guns. And they're very excited about that at the Washington Post, too. It will do nothing to save anybody's lives. It will just restrict freedoms. But they're the left. And, you know, their lives, you know, they take lives. They don't save them. They're the left. Just look at the history of the last 100 years. And these people aren't liberals. They're the left. It's a very different sort of thing altogether. And Joe Biden, ghost guns, which is a non-existent problem that leads to nothing that needs to be addressed. But it's more just, you know, divisive, polarizing stuff. And yesterday I was reading that African Americans are buying guns in record numbers, which has been true for quite some time now. Record numbers. And the news media thinks that that means that conservatives will turn against guns and the Second Amendment, which is in the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. We like our rights, you see. And no, we like African-Americans buying firearms. You know, a lot of people, because live in Democrat-controlled areas, a lot of black people live in high-crime areas because Democrats. And, well, obviously, we want people to be able to defend the law-abiding citizens, to be able to defend themselves, protect their homes and their families. That's part of being an American, and that's a great thing, one of the great things about being an American. So remarkable stuff, remarkable stuff. Also, Joe Biden is appointing a new director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who is a big, frothy, anti-gun advocate. He's a gun control nut in charge of the ATF. And the Washington Post has a glowing version of that, too. How wonderful that is. That's great. That's great. Also, Nancy Pelosi says things are going great at the southern border thanks to Joe Biden's leadership. She's the kind of leader that we're looking for in, I don't know, the Soviet Union or something like that. Really remarkable stuff. But and that's just scratching the surface on a few things we want to get to here. Also, the Washington Post today, very excited. No shot, no shoes, no service. See, this is the new Jim Crow. Let me talk about this for a minute, because this is the new Jim Crow. This is a Washington Post piece. They're very excited. If you don't have your, they want passports, the vaccination passports, because they want us to live in a science fiction nightmare, a dystopian future, you know, where there are wars over water, like Kamala was talking about yesterday, day before yesterday. So here's what they're talking. You're not going to be able to rent an apartment if you don't have your COVID shot, and you're not going to be able to rent a car or fly or go into a restaurant or go into a stadium. You have to have your passport, and then you might have to get new vaccines every 6 months, and the government will control them, and you'll have to go to them for your vaccinations. It really is a dystopian science fiction nightmare that they're setting up here. And by the way, you know who this will disproportionately impact? That's right, African Americans.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
But MSDNC, let's not forget them. Here is MSDNC host apologizes after network confused two black congressmen. I talked about it, the impeached former federal judge, criminal taking bribes, Alcee Hastings, God rest his soul. He died a couple of days ago, the age of 84. And MSNBC was doing the obit for Congressman Alcee Hastings. Unfortunately, they weren't showing a picture of Alcee Hastings. They were showing a picture of another random black congressman by the name of Benny Thompson, who is not Alcee Hastings and looks nothing like Alcee Hastings. So they put on their white anchor, Hallie Jackson, to come on and apologize.
We do want to apologize for a mistake that we made on this show yesterday. We're reporting on the death of Congressman Alcee Hastings. We mistakenly showed video of Congressman Benny Thompson, which should never have happened. We are sorry
it did. We're very sorry. It reminded us, naturally, of when MSNBC introduced the Reverend Jesse Jackson, but they introduced him as Al Sharpton.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes
Jesse's
to income inequality,
like, is Al here too?
All's well. The rising tide floats all boats.
Because I'm sitting here.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Right. I don't, you know, I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm looking at your face. I know who you are, Reverend Jackson. We all do.
Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham on stage. Chris Matthews looks at the video and says, hey, look, there's you. He's talking to Jamie Harrison on the set with him. And he says, there's you on stage with Lindsey Graham. But it's not. It's Senator Tim Scott. And everybody around Chris Matthews trying to say, it's Tim Scott. It's Tim Scott. They're trying to alert him that he's committing another racist faux pas. It went like this.
Jamie, I see you standing next to the guy you're going to beat right there, maybe. Maybe. Lindsey Graham.
Tim Scott.
Jamie?
Tim Scott.
Who's that?
That's Tim Scott.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's the other senator, Tim Scott. What am I saying? Big mistake. Mistaken identity, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. That's just MSNBC. Not a thing. Not a thing at all. Also on the front page of the Washington Post, they've got a picture of a young boy with his brand new backpack that says Smart, Strong, Cool on the back. He's being delivered back to Guatemala because the headline is, his parents sent him away but wanted him back. Pascual's return to Guatemala means he must leave a loving U.S. foster family. Now, a Guatemalan family sent their kid, like threw him over the fence and landed in the dirt in Texas, and then an American family took him in, and then they said, we want him back. So we sent little Pascual back. Now, let me just say this. You know, Michael Piercy is the father of a five-year-old boy, great kid, just really is a great kid. And if Michael took his son down to, and Michael and his wife took his son, his five-year-old son, down to the U.S.-Mexico border and threw him over the wall into Mexico, Michael and his wife would be arrested. They'd be in handcuffs. They'd be called child abusers. In the United States of America, this happened in Montgomery County in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., not very long ago. Remember free-range parents? This mother let her kid cross the street, and the cops came and arrested mom because you can't let the kids go. You let the kid go to the park on their own, and we arrest the parents in the United States because we've lost our minds as a culture because the left is insane and they have too much power. Here there's this glowing story on the front page above the fold, a wonderful, happy, heartfelt story about parents that effectively threw the kid over there. Here, walk to the United States. We don't have a new pair of shoes, but just go barefoot to the United States. And then a foster family takes you in and they become emotionally invested. And they say, we want the kid back. And they get a glowing story. Now, the same Washington Post smeared and slandered parents all over the place for letting their kids go to the park or cross the street. Because were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Am I right about that? I certainly am. In fact, we have that at the Chris Plant store. We have, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards. We have coffee mugs and T-shirts, and it's what we used to call a truism, a true fact. mm-hmm. Sorry, a little sip of water there. And remarkable stuff, remarkable stuff. That's our media. They're not on our side because they're the left. They're Democrats. They're really something. Joe Biden also plans on creating new jobs. I think it's going to cost us $830,000 per new job that they're creating. According to Fox Business, they did the math on the $2.7 trillion. It'll be 2.7 million more jobs than would without. It's remarkable stuff. I'll get to that. But let me also get to we got news yesterday out of Washington, D.C. Kind of hard to imagine. And the city government and the coroner's office, because also, you see the two young girls that murdered the Pakistani immigrant, the Asian hate crime, anti-Asian murder hate crime. And it looks like they're going to get a free pass, no jail time. 13-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl. This is what we're creating here in the United States, thanks to the left. It's Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. It's a dystopian nightmare. It's Waterworld. And it looks like the 13-year-old and the 15-year-old girls, they're getting a plea deal, no jail time for murder in the anti-Asian hate crime. Carjacking, which CNN called an accident. CNN called it an accident because they're not in the news business. They're in some other business. But back to January 6th, there was a riot at the Capitol. And the news media, I could play audio for you all day long of the news people talking about five dead like four dead in Ohio, five dead at the Capitol, five people, the murderous, blood-drenched rage. John Boehner is getting back into the action around here, too. Absolutely crazy stuff. John Boehner blasts Trump, saying he incited that bloody insurrection. The New York Times, really remarkable stuff. John Boehner. Hey, Boehner, put your drink down and step away from the keyboard, okay? Trump incited that bloody insurrection. Well, I've got an update on the bloody insurrection. Before I get to that, slain Capitol police officer to lie in honor in Capitol Rotunda, from United Press International, UPI, yesterday. William Billy Evans, the 18-year veteran of the Capitol Police, killed, I like to say the U.S. Capitol Police, killed Friday in an attack while on duty, will lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, congressional leaders announced Tuesday. Evans, who died in the line of duty protecting the U.S. Capitol on Good Friday, will lie in honor on April 13th. Today is April 8th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said in a statement, now these are furiously anti-police people, and this is just a purely political decision on their part, because Officer Brian Sicknick was the first officer in many, many years, at least, to lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda beneath the dome and all of that. And God bless Billy Evans and God bless Brian Sicknick. Know that the Democrats are anti-police with every breath they take. And for the moments that they're not, it's for fraudulent political reasons, self-serving reasons. Make no mistake about it. Also, there was a procession yesterday for slain officer Billy Williams, who, by the way, was murdered by a radical black racist Nation of Islam activist. And by the way, while we're at it, it was a suicide attack, just by the way, for anybody that's paying attention, another suicide attack. He went to the Union Market in Northeast Washington, D.C., bought a $300 fancy kind of Japanese-style knife that he brought to the Capitol, crashed his car into the two police officers, injuring one, killing Officer Evans, murdering Officer Evans, in what might be described as a suicide attack, correctly, or a terrorist attack, correctly, and an extension of the war on police that was launched by the Obama-Biden administration. There have been multiple suicide attacks by Democrats against police in the last several years, including but not limited to the attack on officers Ramos and Liu in New York, where Ishmael Brinsley, then after murdering them in their car, went to a nearby subway station, shot himself in the head, murdering himself. And then the Texas mass murder, five police officers murdered there. Micah Xavier Johnson, doing all this from off the top of my head, of course, murdered five people and then forced the police to go in a parking garage and kill them with a robot with a bomb attached, by the way. Then the mass murder-suicide attack of police in Baton Rouge by Democrats, by radical militants and racists, and it's, pretty normal. Now, this is the Democrats have made this pretty normal. Suicide attacks by Democrats are not unusual anymore. There was, of course, the white lunatic at the baseball diamond in Alexandria, Virginia, that shot Congressman Steve Scalise. Another suicide attack, Russian rifle, the kind that the Democrats want to ban. They just don't know what they are. But now the murderer, Noah Green, also known as Noah X, in the suicide attack on the Capitol, murdering Officer Evans on Good Friday, a little more than a week ago. Well, I guess coming up on 2 weeks ago now. That's wrong. But, you know, on Good Friday. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan said the group, the Nation of Islam, is mourning its brother, who died assaulting Capitol cops last week, saying the cop killer could have been a future star for the movement. In a statement issued on Tuesday, Nation of Islam confirmed that Noah Green, 25, was studying to become a full member, but blamed potential mental illness. He played football in college, and that explains it. That's not a legitimate excuse by any stretch of the imagination. For plowing a car into two Capitol cops and then jumping out with a knife, he was quickly shot to death, bringing a knife to a gunfight. But he brought the car first and foremost, and he is a cop killer, a terrorist attack, belonging to what the Southern Poverty Law Center says is a hate group, the Nation of Islam, and it was another suicide attack. But Minister Farrakhan said in a statement, I am sure he had been blessed to come through the crisis that he was going through. He would have been a star in the mission of the resurrection of our people, right? We need to know what happened to our brother, he said. Yeah, I think we know what happened to your brother. But that's the thing with that, the Minister Farrakhan and all that good stuff. Now, to the big news from yesterday. The Washington Times has the story. Medical examiner releases cause of death for the internet just blocked my whole thing on the on the Washington Times story. Here's the bottom line with this very important news, and it is very important news. The medical examiner in Washington D.C. released the results of the autopsies of the Capitol riot, all right? And they've been telling us again, I could play audio for you from television for the next hour where they talk about the murders and the blood-drenched attacks and all of this and the headlines with the five killed and I've been talking about the facts ever since. They're hard to find because of a corrupt Washington Post and other corrupt media. But here's the deal. Two civilians died during the January 6th insurrection, as the Washington Post calls it, at the U.S. Capitol, died of natural causes. A third succumbed to an amphetamine intoxication, probably methamphetamine overdose. Two died of cardio events. A fourth person, 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt, who was fatally shot by Capitol police officer inside the Capitol, was struck by a bolt left shoulder, the medical examiner said in her statement. And it's remarkable because what the medical examiner said, but the Washington Post wrote out of the script, and this is a fact, the Washington Post wrote it out of the script, is that Ashley Babbitt died by homicide. The Washington Post has airbrushed that out of the story. The Washington Times reported that two of the individuals that died of cardio trauma, essentially heart attacks, clogged arteries, things like that. The third person, so two died of cardio events. One was 55 years old, one 50 years old. And it's Kevin Greason, 55 years old of Athens, Alabama, died of a cardio event, natural causes, cardiovascular disease. And Benjamin Phillips, 50 years old of Ringtown, Pennsylvania, also died of cardiovascular disease. Now, that's pretty vague. Pretty vague stuff from the medical examiner, and ruled that Roseanne Boylan, 34 years old of Kennesaw, Georgia, died of accidental acute amphetamine intoxication, meaning a drug overdose, an amphetamine speed overdose, maybe methamphetamine, doesn't specify, fairly vague. And then they ruled that Ashley Babbitt died of homicide. Homicide because the medical examiner rules that if one person's death was caused by another person, that it is homicide. Ashley Babbitt's death, the medical examiner ruled police officer's bullet killed her, and the manner was homicide, okay? And then here's the so now that accounts for everybody except for, because they've been telling us five people died that day. Now, Officer Brian Sicknick died actually on tragically, 42 years old, favorite in his family, favorite on the police force, favorite of staffers on Capitol Hill. Apparently an all-around great guy. His mother told the Daily Mail that she believed that he died of a stroke. Now, the news media has not pursued this story because it's too good to pursue. They're blaming Trump supporters for killing a police officer. That's the goal of the Democrat Party and the left. Now, the medical examiner did not provide any information yesterday as to the death of Officer Brian Sicknick. They said that that will still be forthcoming. So here we are now. What is the date today? Is April 8th. Let me do my gazintas here. January 6th to January, February, March, April. We're more than 3 months, more than a third of a year after the death of Officer Brian Sicknick. It's a 3 months and 2 days since the riot at the Capitol. And we just got the autopsy results yesterday for four of the five people that whose deaths have been associated with that event. Two died of cardio events, very vaguely, one of a drug overdose, one of a homicide, according to the D.C. medical examiner, Ashley Babbitt, who was shot to death by a U.S. Capitol Police officer while unarmed, but with full media approval. It's the first unarmed woman to be shot to death by the police in the United States in years. That has met with the not only approval but endorsement of the American news media. And as for Officer Brian Sicknick, well, that remains a mystery because no information has been released on that. And the Washington Post types on behalf of their party the cause of death for a fifth person, Capitol Police Officer Brian D. Sicknick, who collapsed after confronting rioters, died January 7th, remains pending.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
The medical examiner is withholding it. Here we are again, a fiscal quarter of a year later. And why is that? Now, I believe that it's going to be because the narrative is that he was murdered and the FBI is investigating. And the first time ever that bear spray caused a stroke a day later in someone. And they're peddling this thing. First, he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, the New York Times and CNN and everybody else. And that was a fiction. And I pointed that out almost immediately because I saw the phony holes in their reporting, and I saw the way they were twisting words and so on. It's a political weapon. And now five dead in Ohio. Two basically heart attacks, one drug overdose, one unarmed woman, a 14-year Air Force veteran, shot to death by a police officer with full media endorsement and approval. And then there's Officer Brian Sicknick, and they're still withholding. They're still withholding that. Why are they still withholding that? Because the narrative falls apart. This is my belief. Because the narrative will fall apart.